understand that you reserved 10 minutes for rebuttal. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The podium is yours.
Good morning. May it please the court, Deputy Public Defender Okechukwu Amadi, on behalf of Defendant Appellant Mr. Chito Asuncion. The District Court of the Third Circuit erred in convicting Mr. Asuncion of contempt of court for violating condition of his probation after the probationary period expired. We are asking this court to reverse the trial court's decision, first, because we contend that it is the legislative's intent that contempt of court not be used as a remedy for violation of conditions of probation. Second, by allowing the prosecution to use contempt of court as a remedy for violations of probation, we are creating an absurd result. A probation order is a specific order of the court governed by a specific section of our Hawaii revised statutes, beginning with section 706.620 as created by our legislature. We contend that it was the legislative's intent for violation of probations to be remedied only by the remedies outlined in the probation section of our Hawaii revised statutes. The statute includes specific language that was designed and carved out for a limited group of defendants, probationers. HRS 706.625 explicitly states, the court on application of the prosecuting attorney may revoke probation, reduce or enlarge conditions of a sentence of probation. In that same section, it further goes on to state that the court shall revoke probation if a defendant has inexcusably failed to comply with a substantial requirement imposed as a condition of the order. Now, in the present case, Mr. Asuncion was given a probation order. He reviewed and acknowledged the probation order, and he signed it. And what he signed, there's a section of the probation order which he signed, and I quote, says, I, the undersigned defendant, acknowledge the foregoing terms and conditions have been explained to me, and I understand that if I violate them, my suspended sentence of probation may be revoked. In this case, the probation order specifically indicated that if Mr. Asuncion's conduct violated a term and condition of probation, that there's a possibility that his probation would be revoked. There was nothing in the probation order that indicated that Mr. Asuncion would also be found or could be found in contempt of court for disobeying the court order.
Counsel, if the condition of probation said, do not use illicit drugs, and he used illicit drugs, would they charge him for that?
Your Honor, because that would be a new crime. There are general laws in place that govern the use of illegal drugs. Prevent the use of illegal drugs, and that would be a new crime.
Isn't contempt of court a crime?
Contempt of court is a crime, but what we're saying is that the legislatures carve out a specific section, probation section, to handle this specific order.
The legislature didn't say that. There's nothing in Hawaii revised statutes that say you can't be charged with contempt of court. Is that correct?
There's nothing that says that, Your Honor, but in looking at why the probation section of the statute was even created in the first place, was to address a specific set of individuals.
Let me give you a hypothetical, counsel. Let's say somebody's on their last week of probation, and the term of probation expires on Friday, and they violate a condition or term of probation on Wednesday. It comes to the attention of the prosecutor the following Monday. They can't revoke probation because the term is concluded. Why couldn't they charge them contempt of court? That's the only remedy they would have. You think the legislature didn't want that? They want to give them a free week of violating their conditions of probation in the last week of their term. As long as the state didn't find out, they're home free. Shouldn't there be a remedy?
And Your Honor, what I would say to that, in that particular hypothetical, is that is a case that is far more rare than a situation where it would be where...
But if we accept your position, they couldn't charge. And if we say the legislature intended that violation of the condition of probation shall not be the basis to charge someone for contempt of court, even though this instance may be rare, your legal argument would foreclose the prosecution for filing such a charge, wouldn't it?
If the charge were non-criminal, or not a new crime, so
it's contemporary.
For example, Your Honor, what I would be referring to is if the new charge were not a crime that was articulated by general law, what I'm articulating here is that, contending is that the legislative intent, again, is for probation matters and remedies to be handled by probation. What I would contend, Your Honor, also is that your hypothetical has to be outweighed by what the absurd result would be on the other extreme if the prosecution were allowed to have contempt of court.
So absurd about it.
What would be the absurdity would be if the prosecution were allowed to file contempt of court charges in the situation that we have here. They can file a motion for revocation of probation and file a contempt of court charge. We're setting up a system in which they would be able to do both.
That's not before us. They didn't do both in this case, right? They elected one over the other, correct?
You're correct in that's not before us. But what I'm saying is, going along with your hypothetical,
the maximum penalty for contempt of court? Is it a misdemeanor?
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor, Your Honor.
So wouldn't that be a lesser sanction than revocation of 5 years probation, sentencing someone to prison? I mean, shouldn't someone be thankful? Prosecution's proceeding on contempt instead of revocation of probation?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because with the probation statutes, there are, the remedy could be less than a contempt of court. There's a possibility.
It could be more. And also the burden of proof is not significant. I mean, the prosecution has to go to court and prove beyond a reasonable doubt contempt of court, whereas a probation revocation hearsay comes in. It's a pretty cursory proceeding, isn't it?
But with the probation hearing, Your Honor, there's also evidence evidence, if you will, that's brought in to show how well the probationer has been performing, and that's also balanced by the kind of.
And assuming someone's convicted of contempt of court, that can come in sentencing as well, correct? That sort of information.
It could, yes, Your Honor, it could come in at sentencing. But again, Your Honor, the purpose of purpose of probation would be more rehabilitative than punitive, in the sense that the contempt of court would be a more punitive action, and that's why the legislature's designed the probation statutes.
I want to ask a few questions about the facts in this case. It does sound from the record that the prosecution actually moved to revoke probation in this case, and they withdrew it.
What my understanding of the record, Your Honor, is that there was a motion for revocation of probation at a proof of compliance hearing, but that had to do with Mr. Sencillon, whether that he had paid all his fees that were outlined as part of his sentence. And my understanding, based on the record, is that it was determined that he did pay his fees, and that particular motion for revocation of probation was withdrawn. But there's nothing in the record that indicates that a motion of revocation of probation was filed for the alleged violation of the term and condition of probation.
Also, the judgment in this case, the notice of entry of judgment, indicates that the original charge in this case was custodial interference in the second degree, and it was dropped to criminal contempt. So that doesn't seem like a lesser included offense that you could drop the charges to. So how was it that
my understanding of the record, Your Honor, is that he was originally sentenced for the custodial interference in the second degree, and the contempt of court charge came about as a result of the alleged violation in which the condition of probation indicated that Mr. Sencillon was not to have contact with Ms. Vanderhoek, the complainant.
Okay, well, is that what you're understanding? Because when you look at the judgment, it says the original charge for this case was custodial interference. Did the court clerk get it wrong?
That the underlying charge initially was custodial interference in the second degree. That was the order by which the probation terms were outlined.
No, we're talking about the actual judgment in this case.
I show it.
That's attached to the brief. shows that the original charge was the sodium interference, and it was amended to contempt of court. Now, the first transcript we have is the day of trial, so I'm wondering that maybe whether there was an earlier proceeding, perhaps a random plea, where this occurred.
In your honor, I am not aware of why on the judgment it was amended to contempt of court.
Can you consider the no contact order in the sentence to be a mandate of the court?
I consider it to be a condition of his probation from this perspective of it's part of an order so of the court not to have contact with the complainant.
But if it is a mandate, possibly a criminal contempt charge is permissible for a violation of that mandate.
And that's what I'm here, or what we're here, Your Honor, today arguing that it was not in the design of the legislature to have contempt of court, the contempt of court offense be applicable to a probation violation. And it gets into, again, statutory construction of a general statute versus specific statute. The contempt of court statute is more general, is a general statute when compared to the probation section of the statute, because this probation statute deals with an order that is more specific. It's a narrow group, it's more tailored. So if you're looking at whether or not the general statute for an order versus a specific statute that deals with an order, both contempt and probation, contempt and revocation of probation both deal with the disobedience of an individual in a court order, then if there's a conflict between the two, the specific governs. And in this case, the probation statute is more specific, and therefore it would govern with respect to a violation of a condition of probation.
The case law across the country is kind of split on this subject. And a lot will say, well, you construe statutes in harmony, and there is another contempt of court statute which says you can charge for violation of a mandate of the court, which is criminal contempt. And so when you violate a term of condition of probation, you can charge either. Although both of these opinions will say, but if we don't understand why a prosecutor would ever charge criminal contempt when it's much easier to revoke probation. So we're trying to understand, you know, from a policy standpoint, why we should go one way or the other. Because in the circuit court setting, where probation could be 5 years, and we see the records all the time where they revoke probation and the guy starts all over again, right? So he could be on probation for years and years and years. So to have closure, maybe a contempt of court charge might be better for a defendant.
It would depend on the individual case, but what we're contending is that by giving the prosecution that sort of discretion, whether to file a motion for revocation of probation or whether the charge is intended for, would be giving too much power to the prosecution.
Would you object if contempt of court charges were limited to probation period? Because in this case, the problem is that the probation revocation period ended, and they brought a contempt of court charge a year later, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So is there a distinction that we can make here, where you can't charge contempt of court after the probation period has ended, but you can charge it within the probation period?
And Your Honor, again, what we're contending is that in either situation, you should not be able to charge contempt of court. Definitely in this case, in the present case with Mr. Sun-Seong, after the probation period expires, but it's equally as important to not allow the prosecution to be able to charge contempt of court during the probationary period. Again, it goes back to there's already a mechanism, there's already sections of the statute in place to address violations of conditions of probation.
Okay.
You would concede, counsel, on the face of the wire by statute, it's not clear. That's why you're arguing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Interpretation construction.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the legislature could make it clear.
Yes.
Either way.
Yes.
What do we do about the Hawaii Supreme Court opinions in those family court cases where a child is on found to have committed a status offense and doesn't comply with the terms of the family court's order and therefore is charged with criminal contempt? And so what becomes it starts off as a civil proceeding, now becomes a criminal contempt situation.
And Your Honor, with respect to a child in a family in a juvenile setting that's placed on protective supervision, I'm not aware of any a law that permits contempt of court to be charged under those circumstances. I would say that the protective supervision under section under the juvenile system would be adequate enough for a minor, should he or she disobey the mandate of the court, if the protective supervision system could govern correcting the behavior of the minor if he or she were to violate a condition of his or her protective supervision, which would make charging that individual, that minor, with contempt of court unnecessary.
Taking it back to the adult arena, what would your position be if the prosecution instead did charge custodial interference for the acts that they were charged with contempt for?
It would, in that case, Your Honor, the specific condition said to not have any contact with the complainant. By the investigation of police officers, it came to the fact that the prosecutor didn't realize that it was a new crime that they could charge with, then there's nothing that precludes charging from a new violation of the general law.
No, because as I understand it, although the record's not really clear, the underlying offense, the underlying conviction for interference, custodial interference, was because defendant was in contact with the minor.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I don't know how different the circumstances are, but at least arguably, he was charged with contempt for being in contact with the same minor without permission. He had asked the guardian, the grandmother, who had custody of the minor, for permission, and she told him no. So, at least arguably, we're talking about very similar circumstances. That's what raised the question in my mind about whether they could have charged him for custodial interference with the same facts, and whether your position would be the same or different had they made that charge instead of contempt.
Well, that, and Your Honor, in that case, if they charged him again with custodial interference, it would be a new crime, and we contend that is acceptable because of the fact that it is a new crime. It is not punishment for a condition of a probation. If the investigation of the police officer together with the prosecutor, if they determine that it is a new criminal offense, then we're saying that is acceptable. What we're saying is not acceptable is purely a condition of probation, that it's a non-criminal act to charge with contempt while the individual is on probation, so that, again, that was not the legislative intent and that it would create an absurd result. So that would be our contention. So there's a distinction between a criminal act and a non-criminal act with respect to the conditions of probation. The
state wouldn't agree that would be an absurd result.
Of course not, Your Honor.
I mean, you know, you could argue it's just two options. And my question would be for the state, when she steps up, is this option of contempt in court one that would be used very often? My guess would be not, but generally they would move to revoke probation.
And I would say, Your Honor, again, that's why we're saying that we think it's too much discretion, it would be too much prosecutorial discretion to leave it in their hands to decide if they're going to use one method or both methods.
They have discretion on how they're going to charge.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. But what we're saying is, if they're allowed to use contempt of court, then there would be nothing that precludes them to charge an individual with a motion for revocation of probation and contempt of court for that same violation of the condition of probation. And in the, on the misdemeanor level, where prosecutors change every day, a case can go through multiple prosecutors before it gets finally resolved. We can't rely on the good graces or promise from the prosecutor that they will just choose one or the other. If the court allows contempt of court to be used in a manner that the trial court held, then again, that would be too much discretion. And I see that my time is up. I would like to reserve the rest of my remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Prosecuting attorney time and all that for the state. Judge Foley, you had posed a question to Mr. Amati regarding the use of the option of contempt of court versus whether or not we would move to revoke probation. Talking about this case, Your Honor, I was the trial deputy addressing Judge Fujise's question earlier too. The case, he had been arrested in September 04 for custodial interference. However, because it's a misdemeanor case, it does go through on multiple mono deputies, and along the way it had been amended. That is not part of the record, so I'm able to put it on, but it had been amended prior to the trial date. I believe what is in the record.
The contempt case or the prior case, the underlying charge?
I'm sorry, what did you say right before?
It was amended in the original charge that underlay the probation? Or the criminal contempt?
No, the criminal contempt, the case that's before the court.
Oh, so it did start as a custodial
interference. It did start as a custodial interference, Your Honor. Yes, it did. And that is also mentioned in the pre-sentence diagnosis and report. That's part of the record. It was amended prior to trial. I did get it at the trial level. I did orally arraign him on the contempt. Now, as to whether or not we would have gone contempt of revocation, because the facts in the case was based on the order for probation saying in his previous case, in the Kona case, saying that he was not to have contact with the minor, that's the reason for we moved for the contempt, because it was based on the court's order. The court had ordered him in that case not to have contact with the minor, which point he did 4 months after he was sentenced.
Assuming you agree with me that the prosecutor has discretion whether to charge contempt or probation revocation, what's the impact of HRS 706-630, which provides that upon the termination of a period of probation, the defendant shall be relieved of any obligations imposed by the order of the court and shall have satisfied the disposition of the court?
The state understands the court's, it does, according to the defense argument, it does subject the defendant to technically an extended amount of his probation, because the state is saying after he is, his probation has expired, we can still bring forth contempt of court proceedings 2 years after the offense. In this case, Your Honor, he was arrested for custodial interference while he was still on probation. The case was pending. The case did not be able to go to trial before the probation expired because the defendant didn't show up to court. That's why he had the subsequent contempt. That was dismissed later during the trial because I couldn't prove it. I didn't have my witness, did not show up, so I had to dismiss that. So in our case, it was different, where the case was pending while he was still on probation. So it wasn't as if we decided to just bring forth these charges after he had already the probation had expired and he had no knowledge that they were pending. They
were on the record, because the record starts after the probation period has ended. I mean, there's nothing to indicate that he was charged prior to the expiration of the probation period.
That is correct, Your Honor. And the precept, the only thing I can point to in the record is in the pre-sentence diagnosis and report, where it lists there that he was arrested and charged in September. I can't remember the date, but September 04. There's also an order for pretrial conference order that was also done prior to trial, and there's also the defendant's demand for discovery that's also done prior to the actual trial date. Unfortunately, at the time, District Court weren't required to file written complaints, so we don't have anything that was filed as to the charge when he was actually arrested.
Counsel, one of my questions to defense counsel was, I said I was going to ask you, was how often would your office, it would seem to me not be a regular occasion to charge contempt as opposed to revocation of probation. Would that be the case in your experience?
Your Honor, I hear what the court is saying, and I think a contempt of court proceeding may be a better way, especially if a defendant is on felony probation and maybe he can't pay or doesn't do his community service but is in compliance with everything else. For the state to file revocation for him to be resentenced to a whole another 5-year term of probation seems a bit harsh. A contempt in that case might be an easier way to go and get him back on track to doing his community service so he won't be subjected to another 5-year. So in that case, I think it would definitely help not only the state, but also defense and defendants. In the rare cases where I think the court, the circuit court judges and district court judges, they're hard pressed because if the defendant just doesn't do one thing, what's the alternative? Defense argues we have to file revocation, which subjects him to a whole new term. Then it doesn't mean the court has to revoke his probation as well. The court could deny it or not grant it. And the state could withdraw it if he does end up in compliance. But that would be an option.
But your position is it's helpful to your office, it's helpful to the court to have this option.
That's correct.
And there's nothing in Hawaii revised statutes that says you can't exercise this option.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, what about defense counsel's argument about interpretation, the probation revocation scheme, probation revocation, the case law on that suggests maybe the legislature have this exclusive remedy and approach that excluded without mentioning the contempt.
State does not agree with that, and the reason why I think is we have the contempt of court statute to allow the court to have some power. If the court is going to order a defendant to do A, B, C, or D, and the defendant does not comply under defense's argument, then according to the legislature, the judge's orders don't have any teeth. Basically, we just do revocation of probation. But then what is the contempt of court statute there if we're not going to use it? If the court orders a defendant to do something and doesn't do it, that is a violation of the court order. In our case, the order that was that stated he's not to have contact also stated that he was supposed to appear at a proof of compliance. Now, say, just for argument's sake, he didn't appear at that proof of compliance, could we not charge him with a contempt for his non-appearance at that court date? According to defense's argument, no, we cannot. We only have to institute revocation of probation, which is clearly not what the state argues, because that's why we have the contempt for his statute.
You think there would be a problem if the state proceeded on both revocation of probation and contempt at the same time?
I think when defense counsel says it gives the state too much discretion, I do think that it's either or, it can't be both.
I have a question about the notice. When the defendant is given his first probation and has explained to him the possible consequences for failure to comply, his revocation, not necessarily, he's not told that there's a possibility of an additional criminal charge being brought. How does that comply with due process? How does that give the proper notice? And even from the state's point of view, a deterrent effect if they don't know that this is a possibility.
I hear what the court is saying regarding the notice. It's hard for me to address that point because in order for the court to sit down and go over with the defendant every single possible violation that could happen or any single crime, one of the standard terms and conditions of probation is to remain arrest and conviction free. So is the court going to go over every single statute or every single crime that he could commit and say, okay, if you commit A, B, C, D, all the way to double Z, then we're going to revoke your probation, you're subject to contempt. I think it's something where, especially if he doesn't appear for POC, he knows it's a contempt. Although the court never tells the defendant, oh, you're ordered to appear on the state, it's something that I think it's implicit that he should know.
I think everyone understands that if they violate the law or they don't comply with the order, the consequences other than revocation are possible.
I think so. If a judge tells you that you have to do A, B, and C, and you don't do A and B, I think they're in trouble. I think they should know that they're going to be in
Why didn't the prosecution file revocation of probation proceedings in this case instead of?
Mr. Brett O'Rear, who was the probation officer in this case, did testify, and he did say a probation revocation was filed in the Mona case, but it was due to the fees. Because he was only pending arrest in our case, it wasn't a conviction yet. I guess at that point they withdrew it, because he did testify it was withdrawn, because he paid his fees.
He can arrest for the probation revocation, but once you know that he's violated the terms, do you have to have a separate? I'm not understanding.
It's my understanding that in order for us to revoke a defendant's probation, he has to be convicted, because even if he's arrested, he's still innocent until proven guilty. So that alone is not enough basis to revoke.
No, so you mean you have a term of probation that says you shall report to your probation officer once a month, and he doesn't? Do you think he has to be arrested for a crime? He can be revoked. His probation can be revoked just for failing to follow.
Yes, Your Honor, that's true.
So as far as notice, couldn't an argument be made that there was no prejudice for failure to give notice, because the sanction would be actually less than the sanction for revocation of probation?
Well, Your Honor, I do want to agree with the court. However, in this case, the contempt was treated as a misdemeanor, and the underlying that he was on probation was a misdemeanor. So it technically...
Same?
The same.
So the sanction would be the same?
Sanction.
So you could argue no prejudice.
Your Honor, if I may address a couple of key points. What I heard was that by not allowing the contempt of court charge to be used, the court would not have any teeth to enforce the conditions of probation. And that in and of itself is not true. Because under the motion for revocation of probation, there are various options that the court can use. They can re-sentence the non-compliant probationer to his original sentence. They can modify the terms and conditions of probation. So there are lots of different options to regain compliance. And one of the things that it's important to note is that when we contend that probation is primary purpose of probation is rehabilitative versus punitive, if you look at the Hawaii Revised Statutes, Section 806, where it talks about the duties and powers of the probation officer. It states in pertinent part that a probation officer shall use all suitable methods to aid the defendant and to bring about improvement in the defendant's conduct and condition.
Isn't that argument, though, a double-edged sword? Because if the purpose of the probation revocation scheme is rehabilitation, the purpose is different for contempt of court. So don't they exist independently of one another with different purposes?
Your Honor, the primary purpose for probation is rehabilitative, but there's also, again, if the behavior cannot be corrected, our interpretation of 806.73 gives the probation officer the opportunity to try to work with the defendant to gain compliance, to correct the behavior. But ultimately, if the methods that are used aren't sufficient to correct behavior, then the defendant could be sentenced to the original sentence. In that case, it would be the defendant's own actions that cause the ultimate punishment, if you will, which would be to be sentenced to his original sentence, because probation is favorable treatment. It's a favorable status for the defendant. So it's an opportunity, again, for him or her to rehabilitate. If the defendant does not comply, the probationer doesn't comply with the opportunities provided, then the punishment, the original sentence, can be imposed. So that's why we contend that the primary purpose is it's rehabilitative, but it's not the only purpose.
It's a different purpose than the contempt statute.
And the contempt statute would be punitive.
Also a deterrent, right?
A deterrent. And again, the mechanism within the motion for revocation of probation can also serve as a deterrent for behavior of probation who violates terms and conditions of probation.
How do we protect public safety if a defendant on probation commits a violation of probation towards the end of his probation? So, you know, his obligations are going to terminate. If the prosecution doesn't act quickly enough, his probation ends and there's no remedy to probation, or
again, Your Honor, if the probationer commits a new crime, a new violation, then that's independent of his probation. The prosecutor can charge that probationer with a new crime. So, in terms of safety and protection of the public, that probationer does not escape the law, so to speak, by committing a new crime when he's on probation, because he can be charged with that new crime independent of his probation status.
Your position is he can be charged with any crime other than contempt.
If it's for a new crime, he can be charged
any other crime in Hawaii by statute except for this one, contempt.
Yes, Your Honor. And the reason being is, again, because that the statute outlines for probation, the scheme by which to correct the behavior of someone who violates a term and condition of probation, and is making a distinction between a non-criminal violation and an act or violation of probation that is a new crime. So there is a distinction there, and there case law outside of the state of Hawaii that supports that contention. As I cited in our brief, State versus Williams and Williams versus State of Maryland, both contend that using contempt of court is an additional punishment. If the act that is committed is a new crime, then that individual is charged with a new crime.
And as Judge Watanabe pointed out, there's case law in other jurisdictions to the contrary as well, isn't there?
And Your Honor, there is, and one of the cases that this state cites to that the prosecution cites to, Your Honor, was this Peter versus Patrick. And in the concurring opinion, in that Justice Trapp, in Peter versus Patrick, the holding was, in that particular case, contempt of court is an acceptable for a violation of term and condition of probation. But Justice Trapp, in that same opinion, in his concurrence, stated, and I quote, in its concurrence, Justice Trapp held that subsequent to the date of the opinion, an alleged violation of the condition of probation must be prosecuted as provided by the Unified Code of Corrections and not by means of contempt of court. So in that concurrence, in that particular case cited to by this the prosecution, they're saying that subsequent to this ruling, that in the future, if there's a violation of condition of probation, then the remedies outlined by its statutes for its probation scheme are what to be used, not contempt of court. In closing, again, we urge this court to reverse the trial court's decision. The legislative intent, just by the nature of how the Hawaii revised statutes what has been laid out and outlined, creating their own specific scheme for probation, is an indication that the legislature's intended for violations of probations, violations of condition of probations, to be handled within the probation scheme outlined in the statute. Again, if you look at statutory construction, a general statute versus a specific statute, contempt of court is a general statute, the probation statute is a specific statute, outlined for a specific group of individuals. When there's a conflict between the two, the specific governs over the general. And then also, again, we contend that it would create an absurd result, because you would have, if you allowed contempt of court to be used in addition to filing a motion for revocation of probation, you have a situation, you create a situation in which a defendant, a probationer, can be a motion for revocation can be filed against the petitioner, and a contempt of court charge can be filed against them for the same conduct, which is not criminal.
The state has conceded that they feel that would be inappropriate.
But if there are no further questions, thank you to this honorable court. Again, we urge you to reverse the trial court's decision.
We'll take the matter under advisement.